Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR. This is weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. And this band is called Reset. The song is called Pollution. Hello, 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 you're listening to the radio station CITR, and this is weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. Welcome to CITR, welcome to Rocket from Russia. I am entitled Russian Tim, and I'm here excited to participate in the next hour of broadcast on 101.9 FM, also available on CITR.ca. I opened the show with a band called Reset, and that was their song called Pollution. And that's not by accident, that was actually very, very planned. Because today on the show I will play you my interview, which will feature a couple of former Reset members who now play in a band called Simple Plan, and therefore I will play you my interview with a band called Simple Plan. Last Tuesday, Simple Plan were in Vancouver. They were celebrating their debut album, which turned 15 years. The album was called No Pads, No Helmets, Just Balls, and they played pretty much the whole album. Not pretty much, they played the whole album front to back. And before the show, I got an opportunity to speak to Simple Plan guitarists, Jeff and Sebastian, and they told we went back pretty much in memories 15 years ago, and they shared a couple of stories about the recording and this album. Also today on the show, we will do a ticket giveaway to a show of the band called Pop. They are playing at the Vogue Theater on Friday. They are playing with Touche Amour, Brass and Sightlines, and sometime in the end of the show, we will do a ticket giveaway to that show. But let's just start listening to my interview with Simple Plan, and there will be three parts of that interview. And in the first part of that interview, I spoke to to the guys and ask them questions about actually how the album was recorded. A couple of questions, just general information about the album. So let's start listening. You listen to Rocket from Russia today on the show. I am playing you my interview with Jeff and Sebastian of the band called Simple Plan. And here's part one of our conversation where we talked about their debut album called No Bats, No Helmets, Just Balls. You listen to Rocket from Russia. Welcome to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and congratulations on the 15th anniversary of double platinum album No Bats, No Helmets, Just Balls.
Woo!
I love it when you say that, like that with your accent. It sounds like awesome.
It is. It is awesome. It is 15th year of your anniversary.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I have this theory about a strong debut album. Sometimes a band is a band for a few years before the first album comes out. And because of all that time, the band works on this first batch of songs because they have the time to test it live, you know, to perfect the songs and actually to master, to make a perfect song about that. With that in mind, could you please describe the process of working on this batch of songs? And I know you both of you weren't in Reset, but do you know if any of those songs were originally written for Reset, or is it the transition?
Well, I think it's interesting what you're saying about the debut album. You know, it's you take, you know, hold your life to write your first record, and then the second one you kind of like you have to be quickly to follow up your success. In our case, Reset was more, I think, a learning tool for our drummer and our singer to own their chops being on the road, and eventually they ended up teaching us a lot of stuff as well, you know. But Sebastian had bands before, I had bands as well, I was, you know, studying classical music. All in all, I think we brought something to the table when we made that first record. The experience was pretty crazy because we all thought we knew how to make a record, yet I think we had some flaws, you know, and we had a tough producer as well. Arnold Lanny, the producer who made the record, super talented guy, but had a certain vision, you know. We wanted to really have roots in that genre of pop punk, and we wanted to sound like those bands. You know, we were young and we wanted to play fast and play aggressively, and he wanted to bring a pop element to it, you know. So he was playing Joe Jackson records, Elvis Costello, he was playing the Cars, the Beach Boys. We dug that music, but we had no clue how to make that mishmash of styles, you know, and we kind of figured it out as we were making the record. It's also why the record took a year to make. So it was an insane process. It was very difficult on the band. We were living in an industrial area, in a studio where we slept in bunk beds with no windows. We re-recorded that record, I don't know, so many times. So how many times would you say? It's crazy.
Well, we did most of the songs, demo versions, then off-the-floor versions, then actually recorded the album, but... I don't think any of those songs were ever meant for Reset. You know, it was really a break for those guys, and Reset kept going, you know, with whoever members they had left back then. But when we started Simple Plan, it was really something new. It was really a break, and I think, yeah, I think this album was difficult to make, but it was very fun to tour. You know, most of our first time tour memories were, you know, everything's associated to these songs, and 15 years later to be playing them, I think we're playing them better now than we did then. Hopefully we do.
I agree.
And it just brings back all those memories of getting on stage a few first times. You know?
Speaking of Arnold, like I said, I looked up his discography. He never worked on a pop punk record.
Sure.
So could you please talk a little bit more, like, about introducing all those, like, you know, Elvis Costello? How, like you said, how, like, you found it challenging, but how did you feel that influenced your song?
I think one of Arnold's strengths is he's very melodic and he's a very talented songwriter. So we were pulling to do like power chords and fast and all that, and he wanted to have a melody and everything. Even if we're playing a simple chord, like we're moving the notes around the chord, inside the chord, to make sure there was always something interesting going on, something that would emphasize what Pierre was singing. And even on the drums, like, it was very important for him, like little things like the kick patterns and all that, which is very important as well. But I think that's sort of what he was trying to bring, because we really wanted to bring all that energy, all that angst of the 90s punk rock that we grew up loving, you know?
I think it's beautiful to work with someone who's actually very talented musically, you know? And that basically, you know, the guy was from the 80s era. He was in a band himself and wrote, like, grand, melodic, you know, 80s songs. And then you're like, how can this guy do Our Lady Peace's music, you know? But he's musically inclined enough that he could change his genre. And again, the focus, as Sebastian said, his focus was melody. Always melody. And he really had a knack to understand, you know, eras. And then he came into this world of pop punk. And for him, it was just like, let's treat these songs as great songs. And you guys do your thing, you know, you play fast, you play too many drum fills, and but let's make this great music, melodic music. And I did an interview recently where I spoke about the record and where he spoke about the record. And it was interesting to see, like, he spoke about my guitar playing. I was just out of music school when I got out, and I thought I was really good. Like, I could play fast, I could play loud, I could play a lot of different genres. I thought I was really good. And then I met Arnold. And that was, it was the biggest challenge on a musical level in my career. The guy made me play stuff that I thought you're not supposed to play on guitar. Like, I just don't understand, I didn't understand his philosophy. It was just like, why would you play like a piano player on a guitar? Like, those are not natural things to do. But that's the beauty of it. It doesn't matter. What matters is, are you serving the song? Are you playing? So he's like, I was challenging Jeff to play parts that were enhancing the song, creating tension, moving forward, moving backwards, and I had no clue what that meant. I really didn't, but Arnold taught me, you know? And I'm sure that Sebastian learned a lot too. I know that Pierre learned a lot as well. You know, you could, a lot of the, there are still the vocabulary that he brought into this band that we still use, you know, like pushes, you know, like whenever there's a syncopation, that, you know, like musical terms that he's got, he had like little musical terms that
slang.
He used.
Yeah.
Slang, exactly. And we kept it as, I guess, as an honor, as a reminder of what he brought to this band, you know? I think that's what a great producer does. And when you listen to those videographies of Metallica or the great bands Guns N' Roses, you always hear how much the producer brings, and you're like, well, or Mutt Lang, for instance, you know, like the great producers. You hear stories about these guys just really changing the sound of AC/DC, Def Leppard, Metallica, and you realize that the tension is part of the process. And God, there was a lot of tension while we made that record. We fought a lot.
I woke up, it was 7. I waited till 11 just to figure out that no one would call. I think I've got a lot of friends, but I don't hear from them. What's another night all alone when you're spending every day on your own? And here it goes. I'm just a kid, and life is a nightmare. I'm just a kid, I know that it's not fair. Nobody cares, cause I'm alone, and the world is having more fun than me tonight. And maybe when the night is dead, I'll crawl into my bed. I'm staring.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR, and this is weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia on 101.9 FM and CITR.ca. And today on the show, I'm playing you my interview with a band called Simple Plan. Last week, they played at the Commodore Ballroom, and they celebrated 15 years anniversary of their debut album, which is entitled No Pads, No Helmets, Just Balls. And we heard one of the biggest hits from that song, which is called I'm Just a Kid. All right, let's move on and let's keep listening to my part two of my conversation with guitarists of the band. How about we'll just listen to that part number two. In that part, we talk a little bit about the collaborations in the album and a few things surrounding that album. Let's do it. This is part number two of my conversation with Simple Plan. You listen to Rocket from Russia. The album cover is beautiful. Who are those stunning ladies?
I wish I knew.
I wish I knew. And they were just very pretty ladies, which were obviously extremely out of our league. You know, it was just for the album cover. They actually, after the whole shoot was done, we were like, hey, let's hang out, girls. And they said, sure, meet us at this place. We're having a party. And we showed up there. There was nothing. So I think they weren't as into us as much as we were into them. But the album cover's cool. You know, it looks great. And we're, you know, we get to see it a lot these days because that's the album that kids bring to this show for us to sign, you know.
I have a new theory about that.
Yeah?
Yeah,
I think we showed up too early.
Yeah. That's how geeky we were.
We were there at 7:15, ready to party.
Hey. Yeah,
the party was at 2.
Yeah, party was at 2 a.m. Anyways.
You have two guests on the record, Mark from Blink-182 and Joel from Good Charlotte. I assume you met them for Warped Tour and this is how the collaborations worked out, no?
No, actually, it's very funny. Pierre and Chuck, we said they had played some shows with Blink-182, but not too many. But I think Chuck managed to keep in touch with Mark. And whenever we were making demos, Chuck would always send him to Mark to see what he thought or just to try to validate that we're on the right path of making great music, you know? And he always loved I Do Anything. Uh-huh. So when we made the album, like, he kind of gave us a shot, you know? I mean, like, we were nobodies, you know? We were putting out our first album, so nobody knew what would happen with Simple Plan, but he still said yes to sing on the song, and that was a big deal. Good Charlotte, we met them in Montreal at a show. We just went to their show, told them we were in a band and we were starting up, became friends. Same thing kind of happened, you know? He didn't have to do it. He did it. It was very cool of him to be on our first album. It was very cool for us to have him as well, and we're just happy with the way things went down.
Those collaborations in those days were really, like, part of the rap world, you know, the hip-hop artists collaborated between themselves and made bigger music that way, created more of a buzz. It was kind of happening in the pop-punk world, but it was just the early days. You know, now it's more common. It's something that you, featurings are more common. But it was pretty daring for a band that had, you know, their first record, no traction, no nothing going on, to actually ask Mark Hoppus. But our drummer really has no fear, you know. He's not scared of getting a no. He just went for it.
Basically, Mark Hoppus back then was the P. Diddy of pop punk.
Pretty much, yes.
Because then he produced a little bit. He did a few featurings. You're P. Diddy.
But there were talks. Mark actually mentioned a few times that he'd be interested in maybe signing us to his label. I don't know if he still has it or he had it. It never really panned out. Like, I don't think it was like an actual thing, you know. But in our heads, we were signed,
yeah,
you know.
Holy crap, we're gonna be on Blink's label.
I remember that.
Yeah,
it's funny.
You've been playing live the hits of No Pads, No Helmets, Just Balls, but when you were rehearsing for the anniversary tour, did you have to go back and relearn some of those things, some of those songs from the debut album?
I would say learn some of those songs.
Yes, but at the same time, like, because we played all of those songs and we played them a lot when we first started. So yes, we had to go back. Like, what did I used to play here? Oh yeah, that part. And then immediately, like, when we got together to actually practice the album, like, there was nothing to figure out. Uh-huh. We were just like, it was just kind of sort of playing them together a little bit more to practice, but it's not like, okay, what am I going to play here? You know, we knew. Uh-huh. We knew what we had to do. We just had to do it.
For me, it was a bit different, I have to admit.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I had a sort of a memory of what I played, and truthfully, we had recorded that record so often that I remembered parts that I had played but not recorded or that didn't make it onto the record. I had to go back and really, for instance, Alien, I never played that song properly ever until now.
Yeah. Like, I love it.
So I had to go back and really, like, I slowed down the parts and sometimes I was like, I'm not sure. Is it, you know, what note is that one? And you kind of go back and you're like, there's a few options that are possible, but now I get it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I went deeply into it. I thought it was respectful for
that
the fans, you know?
That first part is just weird.
It's just weird. Yeah. It changes so all weird. The time.
It's always different.
The worst one is the bridge part. The bridge part makes no sense whatsoever. Yeah. So, like, it took, like, a long time to just... I still have... When I play it, if I want to play it properly, I can't just go on and through the motions. I have to think, all right, this one goes up just because. And then you go... Yeah.
And you have to give it up for Jeff for doing all that, because the bridge part, for me, makes no sense as well. But live, I just dance. I just gotta dance instead of,
so
you know,
someone's gotta do it seriously. Yeah, so, you know, sometimes it's Sebastian, sometimes I do anything.
Teamwork.
Yeah, exactly.
Enhanced version of the album features Bad Religion's covers of American Jesus. Could you please tell the story of that song and, like, why you picked that song and your relationship with Bad Religion as a band?
It was Warped Tour and it was a cool song, so we just decided to play it, you know? I think Bad Religion is one of those bands that's very much a staple into the whole new school punk rock from the 90s, and you know, respected them. Obviously, they're still around. They still make albums, you know? I don't think they tour as much as they used to, but they still make albums, and, you know, it was kind of like our little way to say, like, hey, like, we grew up on this music and it's a cool song that we love.
When was the last time you played the song?
We butchered it recently at Soundcheck. Yeah. But we sort of played it okay, but recently at a sound check, we just decided to go
for
it.
I'd say it's 10 years since we've... 10 years
at
probably
10 years,
for real,
yeah.
You know?
During a show, yeah, probably 10 years.
Wow.
But we don't know do you know Bad Religion? I don't know those guys at all.
Met them briefly at Unwarped.
Shook their hands kind of thing, that's it.
Just a You don't mean anything to me. You don't mean anything to me. You don't mean anything to me. You're what I never wanna be. You don't mean anything to me. You're what I never wanna be.
Hello, you're listening to the radio station CITR, and this is weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. This is great. We just heard two songs by the band called Simple Plan. They're from Montreal, and that was songs called I'd Do Anything, which featured Mark Hoppus of the band called Blink-182, and then we heard a song called You Don't Mean Anything, which featured Joel of the band called Good Charlotte. Let's listen to the final part of my conversation with Simple Plan. In the final part conversation, I had to ask about their cover version of a song called Justified Black Eye. There was a tribute which was released by Fat Records to Tony Sly and No Use for a Name, and Simple Plan covered the song, so obviously asked about it, and a couple of other things. So let's listen to the third and final part of my conversation with Simple Plan. You listen to Rocket from Russia. This is great. Speaking of another legendary punk rock band, you covered Justified Black Eye by No Use for a Name for Tony Sly's tribute. Were you friends with No Use and Tony?
I think, again, it was in the Reset days. I think those guys toured with them a bit, you know? Like, I think we're friendly. We've seen them on Warped Tour a couple times. And, you know, everybody shakes hands. Everybody's kind of... But they're one of those bands that you kind of, you know, you just hold up on a pedestal, and when you meet them, you're like, holy shit, it's that guy, you know? And you're just stoked. Like, it's very unfortunate what happened to him, but we're very very proud to be part of the tribute.
How did this all came about? Did Mike contact you, or how?
Yeah, his Fat Records contacted us and asked us if we wanted to be on it, and obviously that song is one of their, you know, biggest songs, and we didn't want to just play the song, so that's why we did something completely different, and we did sort of like a chill, emotional reggae version of the song. But you know, we're just very honored again. And recently, actually, probably like 4 or 5 years later, at one of our San Francisco shows, one of the guys that works at Fat Records actually had us sign the vinyl. We were the only band that had not signed the vinyl yet, and because we hadn't been in San Francisco in a while, and then we finally signed the vinyl, it was like, alright, perfect, now we can put this up for auction. He's like, maybe I'll even keep one and just give it to his wife, you know?
You know what, it's actually a good moment to say that this record, actually the No Pads record, was, you know, very successful in the States and did really well, and this tour, this anniversary tour, got us a chance to actually get back in the US, and kind of it's so weird. It's like as if like suddenly pop punk is really healthy again, you know, and we're playing the biggest shows we've played in the US in very, very long time.
Yeah.
You know, like multiple nights in big cities and all. So I don't know, like I think this record changed a lot of people's lives, you know. We tend to minimize, I think, the power of certain songs, or even as a band, like you want to stay humble about what you do, and you can be, but still be appreciative of the power of those songs, you know. I think like songs like Perfect, you know, like even I Do Anything, which is kind of lighthearted, I think people that just love driving their cars, going to college and listening to those songs, you know, it's part of an era. It touched a lot of people, and you see it at the shows. People are smiling, they're stoked, you know, like even when you play I'm Just a Kid, people are like, you know, like you see older people just going at it, you see young kids going at it. It's cool. This record like really reestablished us, I think, as a touring band in the US, and it allows us to have like such a wide range of ages. You know, like you have people that were too young to come to the shows that are coming now. People that are, you know, have kids now are introducing us to their kids, you know, at the show. And you got people that just coming to the shows because they're curious. It's such an amazing time for the band right now.
Our mutual friend Dave of Hadley told me a story how you guys took them on their very first arena run across Canada, opening for Simple Plan and the Planet Smashers. He says that you used to have a dance party on stage with all the bands and the crew, but one day he didn't get the memo and rushed on stage, and what he found out that it was just him and you guys just drunk, just dancing around. He also added that even when he was fucking up, you guys made him feel welcome, and he also passes a sincerest hellos from
from them to you guys. Do you remember that moment?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I remember the dance parties. They got, we used to put even a couple guys in like skin tight suits, you know, like those one colored second skin suits. And it almost got obscene because they're almost see through, those suits, you know, so it kind of got weird. But yeah, we used to have dance parties where we did like a bunch of hip hop covers. It was a lot of fun. And those guys are great. And they've been doing amazing ever since, obviously. They've had a great career and we're very happy to be friends with them.
They're good people, you know, like, you know, ups and downs like every band, but you know, I consider them friends probably, you know, like, yeah, I've known those guys, you know, since then and all, and I kept in touch. We saw them recently when we played in Ontario. It's just really fun people.
They also added that the Planet Smashers had a hot dog rosticier and Hadley had a Jaeger machine on that tour. What did you have?
Oh, we did. We had Headley.
So you don't need anything when you got those guys around. No, I think the only thing we had was a ping pong table, but that's it. And then we have those guys to hang out with.
I spent way too much time on the Headley bus on that tour. They had free frozen Jaeger. Like that's just insane. That's the memory loss drink. So those times are kind of blurry. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for the interview, guys, and good luck today at the show. Thank you for your time.
Right, thank you.
Hello, hello, you listen to the radio station CITR, and that was my interview with a band called Simple Plan, and that was their cover version of a song called Justify Black Eye, which was originally recorded and composed by a band called No Use for a Name. That was a song of a Tony Sly tribute, which came out 2012, 2013, something like that. But yeah, Simple Plan was one of the bands which did a great cover version of No Use for a Name's bands, and I was excited to play that for you. So that was my interview with Simple Plan, with Jeff and Seb, who talked a little bit, actually a lot, about their album called No Pads, No Helmets, Just Balls, and we heard a few hits from that record. Alright, my friends, let's move on and let's do a ticket giveaway to a pretty exciting show, which is happening on Friday at the Vogue Theater as a part of Westward Festival. Pop, Touche Amour, Brass, and Sightlines are playing the show on
Friday, and I have a pair of tickets for you to give away. If you would like to go to see Pop to share more Brass and Sightlines, 604-822-2487, 602-822-2487, and you can go to the show and enjoy the circumstances of live music. And while you're doing that, how about I will play you some songs by all those four bands which are playing this amazing festival. As I said, this is a part of Vestvart Festival. Like, let's do it. This is Pop, and the song is called TVB. You listen to Rocket from Russia.
Apologize for the grief when you that's the worst part of being in the hospital. Really not doing too bad. And I must have called all of my friends. Well, at least the ones that live in the city. You're the only one who held my hand. You're the only one who came every day. Talk to me when there's nothing to say. It's not much changes.
Hello, hello, hello! That is Rocket from Russia. Yes, great. I just played you four songs by four bands which will be playing on Friday at the Vogue Theater. Pop, we heard a song called DVP from their album called Dream Is Over. Then we heard Touche Amour from their new album called Stage 4, which came out last year on Epitaph Records. That was an opening track called Flowers and You. Then we heard Brass, a local band, that was a song called Steel of a Deal from their self-titled album. And the final track was by Sightlines. That was a track called Hospital from their self-titled album, which also came out last year. I have a little bit of time left. I would like to preview really quick and see how many songs I can fit in. A show which is happening on Saturday at Pop 340. River Jacks, I believe they're from Calgary. Mansbridge from Montreal. Mansbridge, this is a former band of a drummer, Sergei, who plays in my band called Russian Team and Pyle Borez. Anthems and The Dead Zones are playing at the Pop 340. Let's quickly preview a couple of tracks. We'll start with a new track by the band called Mansbridge. The song is called Metastatic. Really good song. And they are playing on Saturday at the Pop 340. You listen to Rock from Russia. This is Mansbridge.
We're desperate and alive. By the bulls, the restrictions,
Hello, hello, hello. That was weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. Thank you for listening. And we heard a song called Metastatic by a band called Mansbridge. They are playing with River Jack's Anthems and the Dead Zones at the Pub 340 on September 16th, which is Saturday. This is going to be a pretty good show. I am very excited. Mansbridge new album is really, really good. I recommend. They're from Montreal, Quebec. This is it. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for participation. And thank you so much for everything. That was great. Yeah, this is it. There's nothing else to do. I'll just play you a last song, which will be by the band called Days 2 Days. The song is called Misanthropic Drunker Loner, and Days 2 Days are playing at Pub 340 on Sunday. Thank you so much for listening. That was Rocket from Russia. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
My breakfast was straight out the medicine cabinet, a remedy for the aftermath of my habits. Sometimes it's the ones who try to help that hurt the most. I feel like we're playing tug of war, and I'm the rope, and I'm stretched to the limit, but you keep on pulling in. I'm gonna lose my goddamn mind. I'm gonna lose my mind.
Training, this grace us to fill. Distract ourselves to make us feel like we're not just mistakes.